So this particular Sunday, we're going to spend on the fifth aspect of the deeper love, and then next Sunday, the last one, and then we'll go into our Advent series after that, talking about the coming of Christ. And my prayer for you is that you experience the deeper love, the love that Christ brings, the love that is extraordinary, that's powerful, that's life-changing, that goes beyond anything we can ever imagine or comprehend. The kind of love that goes so deep into our hearts and our spirits that our souls are changed, touched, we are healed, we experience the marvelous, wonderful healing power of God, and that we're settled in our hearts because Christ has reached us in those deeper places. And so the things that we can do as far as inviting Christ to touch our lives that deeply is, first of all, we look beneath the surface. Secondly, we break the power of the past. We don't let the past control us. We don't let the past bind us. Thirdly, we live in brokenness and vulnerability. Fourthly, we receive the gift of limits so that we're not running around going crazy. And today I want to talk about embracing grieving and loss. Interesting subject, isn't it, as far as receiving the love of Jesus Christ. Embracing grieving and loss. And let me read this passage again, Ephesians chapter 3, which is the theme verse for this series. Starting from verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you, speaking to us, may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, what a wonderful promise that God makes that available to us. And there's things that we can do in order to assist the Lord in bringing that to us. By the way, sometimes some of you would say, you know, I read the scripture and I don't get anything out of it. You know, when you read something and you don't understand it, ask God for it. Ask God for it. I was reading this passage the other day and I was, and somehow that one particular passage kind of gripped me. In verse 16, where it says, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And I was just kind of wondering myself, how does God strengthen us with power in our inner being? And I was just kind of puzzling over that. And it just wasn't coming to me. It was kind of just a little bit elusive. And so I was just kind of pondering, Lord, show this to me. And he did. It was marvelous. He showed me through Suzanne. And I thank the Lord for her because I saw the answer right through her. And so, Bill, would you show that picture? Do you see that? It says their inner being. So if you take this, you know, you could be strengthened in your inner being. Okay, and so thank you, Suzanne, because she brought that home one day, and I saw it sitting on the counter, and I thought, oh, that's the answer to my prayer, the strengthening of my inner being. So eat some of this, and you'll be strengthened in your inner being, or by your inner being, or something like that, okay? Anyway, okay. So I feel strengthened already, okay. So, but we're going to tackle a kind of a difficult subject today, and maybe an uncomfortable subject because, you know, we all experience these things. But we have to experience grief and loss in a redemptive way. Amen? Because we have to know that our Lord Jesus Christ has the power to overcome and help us deal with the griefs and losses in our lives. Because in order for us to really experience his transformative power, we have to know that, you know, grief and loss is a natural part of life, and he has to have an answer for everything. experiencing the deeper love of God is connected with handling grief and loss well. Why is that true, and how does it happen? Well, we all experience losses and grief, don't we? We all do. There's all kinds, too. The death of a loved one. Sometimes we have an unfortunate physical disability that suddenly limits our lives. We have broken relationships. Those are losses. Amen? We have illnesses. We have financial loss. And then all of a sudden, you know, our life changed because we have financial losses. Aging. Aging brings loss. And we realize that we can't do this or that. Or, you know, there's no time to do this anymore. And so we experience losses because of that. Children leaving the home. That was a tough one for me because I was really, really enjoyed having my kids at home. And when they left for college, I was very grieved about that. part of me, the other part of me was kind of happy, actually, okay. Don't tell them I said that, but, you know, part of me was kind of happy that they left, okay. Some of you have been laid off from a job. You know, it's tough being laid off from a job. There's a grief there. There's an uncertainty that comes. There's sometimes we feel a lot of injustice because, you know, that takes place. Hey, I didn't deserve this, and, you know, those kinds of things. Some of us have been victims of criminal activity, and that's a loss, too. Death of a pet, dreams unfulfilled. Oh, man, we all had dreams in our lives, didn't we, at one or one time or another? Sure. Hopes dashed. Maybe you graduate from school, and you suddenly realize that your life is changing. Your friends are gone. The order that you are used to is different now, and you have to get used to a new schedule, a new way of living life. Some of the dreams we don't talk about, some of the losses we don't talk about, and that makes it even tougher. Because when we don't talk about losses, they sit deeper and just sit a long time. We don't talk about, a lot of times, a miscarriage. We don't even talk about that because for some reason our culture tells us not to talk about those kind of things. I know a person who ended an affair and grieved it, but he couldn't tell anybody. Naturally, you can understand that because of the situation. I know somebody who, some of you, when you have an abortion, you think, oh, I lost that. But you can't be telling people about that. Those are the kind of the private, hidden kind of things that affect us. And then we don't grieve that publicly, and that makes it tougher for us. I know a person who had assets taken in a scam. And she felt so very ashamed that she was gullible enough and that she, you know, did that. And plus it involved a little bit of greed. You know, they stoked her greed, and in stoking her greed like that, she felt like she had given into that. And so she felt very ashamed about that, and so, you know, didn't want to tell anybody about that. So there's a lot of things that we grieve privately, and we don't want people to. You know, I don't know what it is about Asians, but Asians are worse at it. They don't like people to know things. Have you found that true? Maybe that's true in other cultures too, but since I'm an Asian, okay, I've witnessed it in my culture. You know, don't want to tell anything. Oh, what happened? I said, well, you know, like this pregnancy thing, okay? Don't tell anybody until your first 3 months. And Suzanne and I look at you, why not? You know, people can be praying for you. Say, well, something might happen. Well, so what? You know, that's part of our culture. You know, we can pray for it. Well, yeah. But anyway, okay, I won't take off on that, okay? But the point is, we all have all experienced multiple losses. All of us. Every one of us. If we're a human, we've had losses. Amen? Oh, yeah. And the problem is, we don't grieve well. Or thoroughly enough. And when we don't grieve well or thoroughly enough or deep enough, we leave unresolved pain, we leave sadness. That unresolved pain will resist the deeper love of God. My understanding of depression as I walk through it and as I try to learn more about it, one component of it has to do with not resolving losses well. Isn't that interesting? I was really surprised about that. What do you mean I don't resolve losses well? But as I began to think about it, it's really true. Because, you know, I would be officiating or I'd be part of my losses, but, you know, the next person I talk to, maybe they're celebrating something. And so I have to kick it up and celebrate with them. You know what I mean? And you know, that's hard to do. It really is. But I have to look like I'm celebrating. And I am celebrating with them. It's really, it's because it's a great event. But at the same time, I'm dealing with this. You ever done that? Had to put on a good face. It's a true reason for celebration, but there's loss involved too. King David, at the news of the death and battle of his beloved friend Jonathan and Jonathan's father, King Saul, even though Saul gave him such a hard time, he wrote a lament. And you know, he had all his men read this lament, and he actually wanted them to learn it. He wrote this in 2 Samuel chapter 1, 19 to 27. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, your glory, O Israel, lies slain on your heights. How the mighty have fallen. Wow. The flesh and blood of the slain and the flesh of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan, in life you were loved and gracious, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery, who adorned your garments with ornaments of gold. How the mighty have fallen in battle. He grieved publicly, and he even had his men grieve with him. And so that, to understand that, you know, losses like that need to be grieved. Read the Psalms. How many of them, right? You know, why does my enemies persecute me? Why have I suffered such losses? If you read the Psalms, that's why we find such heartening encouragement in the Psalms, because when those times when we're grieving, David knew how to grieve out loud, in personal and publicly. And his words express our hearts, and they touch us, and they communicate with us. Isn't that true? Yes, they do. That's why it's important to grieve. Beloved, grieving well is an important part of spiritual maturity. I want you to let that sink in. Because there are certain Christian circles that grieve poorly. And they say, well, how are you doing? You know, and knowing you had a deep grief. Oh, I'm doing fine because Jesus is fine everything, over everything. And we put this fake smile on our face, you know, and we pseudo spirituality. That's not what Christ wants us to do. We think that in order to show that we're spiritually mature, you know, grief and losses don't affect us. That is such a crock. That's not real. How are you doing with that? Man, this is tough. That's the truth, isn't it? This is tough. This is hard. I'm so disappointed, or I'm so hurt, or I'm so lost. So grieving well, really, is a sign of spiritual maturity. We are actually deepened by taking the time to grieve our losses. We're deepened there. Our culture teaches us to avoid the pain of grief. That's what our culture teaches us. We're a pain-free culture. We can have everything we want. We can indulge ourselves. We can play. We can have fun. We can get what we deserve. After all, girls just want to have fun, right? They don't want to grieve. Guys, too, but yeah. If we're in pain, then we medicate it. We avoid it. We deny it. We ignore it. We cover it over. We even over-spiritualize it with a pseudo-spirituality to not face the pain. Dearly beloved, if we don't grieve our losses adequately, then we do not get to that healing part of grief. It's called acceptance. We have to grieve the losses. What we get instead, if we don't get there, is a superficiality in ourselves, a superficial relationships, because we won't go deep with our dear friends and our family, a lack of compassion for others. In fact, oftentimes become hypercritical of others who go through similar things as us. Oh, you're grieving that loss? Psh, I did that last year, and you know what? Just shake it off, because, you know, I was great. You know, it affected me for about 10 minutes, and then I was fine. You know, you're mulling and you're milking this for too long. You actually get critical of others. And we don't let that deep grief part take place. Think we've gotten past it, but instead we don't need God. We're even angry with Him. We even deny that we have deep feelings because it's too painful to go there. The result is God's deep love is not able to reach our deep parts because we're not there. Why should God meet us in a place where we are not? God wants to meet us where we are. Not where we're not. And if we won't go there, it's wasted, Him showing up. So, beloved, how to grieve well? Okay, first of all, pay attention. I'm not telling you something. That's the first. Pay attention. Deal honestly and prayerfully with our losses and our disappointments. Let's be honest about it. We can say, you know, that really hurts. That's very disappointing. I grieve that loss. I miss him. I miss her. I wanted that so badly. I was really hoping for that. We don't need to sugarcoat it, overlook it, minimize it, ignore it, Grief must give it time. We must give grief time to play it out. It's like video games. Wait a minute. I'm talking the wrong culture here. It's like a lettuce. You take one layer off, right? And then you have to take another layer off. And then you take another layer off. And then you take another layer off. I'll use the video game one next service when the youth are in there. Okay. Sometimes it takes many times to forgive someone, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Certainly. In fifth grade, I've told you this story before, when I was betrayed by my friends at school. It took me decades. Decades. I was into my 40s and 50s. I still had to forgive them. Because once in a while that would come back again. And I'd realize that the Lord was peeling off another layer of lettuce. And I'd have to forgive again because it was still there at that layer. And then I'd go for a while and be okay. And then another layer of lettuce would come off. And then there it would be. It's still there. It's on that layer too. And I'd have to forgive again. It took a long time. Long time. So pay attention. God will meet us when we go there, no matter how deep it is. That's why Matthew 5:4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." If we refuse to mourn, how can we be comforted? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If we don't grieve correctly, it'll take a toll on our bodies, our minds, our attitudes, and all our relationships. It'll affect us all around. And it'll affect our relationship with God. Bianca doesn't come to our church. I actually pulled this story out of the book I've been reading. She was molested repeatedly when she was a child, but as an adult. She's no longer in that situation, of course, but she found herself with great anxiety, lots of fears, nightmares. She had been a Christian for 12 years. She went to church. She was serving in the church. She was doing all that God wanted, but there was a deep sense of sadness. Deep sense of sadness. She finally got into therapy on the advice of her elders, and as she started to explore that past event, she realized that she didn't trust God anymore, because why would you let that happen to an innocent little child? And she was serving a God that she didn't trust. See, that's how it affects us. Even our relationship with God. So why can we ask God to touch us deeply if down deep down there we have this mistrust of God? Praise the Lord, she walked through it. And she was able to receive His love down in those deep places. And it relieved a lot of her anxiety. A lot of her fear. Secondly, stay alive and faithful in the in-between times. In the in-between times. There's an in-between time, a period after loss and grief, when it's deepest, before you come out and say, okay, I'm okay now. Okay, I've walked through this. There's an in-between time when it's really dark. It's really dark. That's not the time to say, oh, I'm fine. When it's really dark. And when it's dark like that, we're confused, we're afraid, we're hurting. The disciples were like that in that in-between time after Jesus died. They were so confused. What happened? You were supposed to be the Savior of the world, but you died. What happened? And all the evidence, as you read about them later, in that three-day period before the resurrection, and even after the resurrection, they were still confused. What's going on? That just shows us how deep their confusion and darkness was when Jesus died. And in that three-day period, they just couldn't put it together. They were so grief-stricken. In that dark period, it can feel like God left us, just like them. I've had many people ask me, oh, Jim, I pray to God, but I don't get any answers. I don't get any sense of that. And if you've ever had that experience, that's normal. Because you know what? That's the dark period, the in-between period. When it's so hard to see anything. And it can feel like God is not there. We pray and there's no response. Others in the faith may or may not be forthcoming to support, but even if they are forthcoming to support and you have your family around you and your friends around you to help, you know, there's a personal place for this that we have to grieve personally. Maybe when you're going to bed at night, it gets really quiet before you fall asleep, comes back, reminded of that. When you're eating your meal alone, and says, wow, this is so weird and so different. You understand that. And then, you know, there's reminders all over the place. There's reminders like, oh, that's a place we went. Oh, this particular date is a day that this certain thing happened. And it reminds us of that. Maybe there's a movie or a song that comes on. I even had one person say, you know, Jim, I was going along, walking down the mall, and I smelled a scent. And that was the scent my wife used to wear. And just plunged him into deep grief. Brought all those memories back. You know, those things that remind us of that. And those are very personal. Those are very private. No one else knows those dates or that scent or, you know, the movie that you went to or the song that you used to sing together. Nobody knows that. That's very private. No matter how forthcoming is the support, there's an alone time when grief makes us alone. In those times, beloved, remain faithful. Because though it feels like God is not there, God is there. Though it feels like God is not there, God is there. And thank God He is. Disciples had to wait 3 days before the resurrection. That was their confusion time. During that time, they were lost and hurting. They didn't know what to think. The best thing they did was to stay together. They were lost together. That's a good thing. That's why we go to the scriptures. That's where we hang out with our friends, because, you know, sometimes their faith helps us when our faith is weak. Isn't that true? Because their faith helps us when our faith is weak. There's a Christian brother he doesn't come to Venice Church, but he's going through a very difficult time in his work. It was very hard and very protracted. It got public, got in the newspapers. I mean, it was really difficult. I grieved for him. And he was the focus of a lot of it. I felt led to pray for him, so I texted him. I supported my prayers, encouraged him to hang in there. And he told me, he says, you know, Jim, thank you for your prayers. Psalm 4 has been such a help for me. And he read it to me over by text. Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief in my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. You have filled my heart with a greater joy. I will lie down and sleep in peace. Lord, make me dwell in safety. That was the Lord reached out to him through that song during a very grievous time. And it ministered to him. See, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Thirdly, appreciate the benefits of grief. You look at me and say, what's the benefits of grief? Come on, Jim. Either God's transforming power can reach every aspect of our lives, or it can't. Or He's not God. Amen? So God's transformative power can reach every aspect of our life. How can there be benefits to grief? Grief changes us. It does. Let's admit it. Let's acknowledge it. And you know, a lot of times we think grief changes us for the not good, but, you know, grief changes us for the good also. And that's why we need to go through it and go through it well. First of all, we become more compassionate, especially for people who go through the same kind of things that we've been through, because we understand by our own experience what they're going through. Isn't that true? Before it was kind of theoretical, oh, they're having a hard time. But then now we can say, oh, man, I know what they're going through. And how hard that is makes us much more compassionate. Jesus said that in John chapter 12. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, that's grief. Okay? Grief. It remains only a single seed. That's supposed to be a D after that. Sorry, I didn't send you the right stuff, guys. But if it dies, it will produce many seeds. See, grief has value to us because God can make it valuable. You know, all of a sudden, life's true priorities become clearer to us when we go through grief. We realize, you know, I didn't need that thing that I thought I had to have. That's not so important anymore. We become less materialistic. We become less to the point where we scruffle over minor things. And that's not such a big issue. You know, we become very much more understanding of what the priorities of life really are. And God uses those situations to help us understand. Maybe, Jim, you're focusing on things that are not so important anymore. Oh, yeah. You know, why is that so important? That's not so important anymore. It helps us prioritize. We realize that, what's the value of having all this money? Because, right? I'd rather have the relationship. We start to appreciate the simple and the basic. I walk with my mother. We walk down. And sometimes, I admit, I'm a little impatient. I want to keep... Come on, Mom. We're going to move. And she'll stop. Oh, look at that flower. Yeah, Mom. It's a flower. It was there yesterday. It'll be there tomorrow. You know, okay. Well, look at that flower. Look, it's so beautiful. And she appreciates... little simple stuff like that. And I've learned to say, yeah, she's teaching me something. Still. The simple. How many times have we walked past a sunset, say, oh, the sun's setting. But then stop to just really look at it and say, wow, how beautiful that is. We become more human, in touch with our feelings. God becomes more important to us. We become kinder, more patient, more loving. And you know, and we become more effective in ministry too. Because we realize when somebody else goes through something that we've been through, and we pray, and we realize. Last Sunday we... during our Thanksgiving sharing, one person shared that they're having a difficulty. And I was looking for who should pray for that person. This is second service. Who should pray for that person? And the Lord led me right over this section over here. There was one of our ladies had been through a job layoff herself, and it had been months, and she was going through a lot of difficulty. And the Lord said, ask her to pray. So I asked, and then so she took the mic and prayed for the one who, you know, they were having difficulty going through their job search. And you know, her prayer was really precious. And when she prayed, I know that God will bring you through this. That was really cool, man. That was really cool. And she was able to minister more effectively than a lot of us could, because we don't necessarily know that same kind of situation. But grief helps us to be much more effective in ministry. John Milton wrote a book called Paradise Lost. I know the younger generation doesn't read books anymore, but it was a great book. And one of the classics, Paradise Lost. But he was struggling with evil. And, you know, in human history, we've had a lot of evil, haven't we? A lot of evil. And he was struggling with that and trying to put words to, you know, and then come out at a positive place. And he said, you know, evil is like a compost pile. It says you get the decaying substances like coffee grounds or vegetable peels or fruit peels and dead leaves, and you stick them in the ground and you put some dirt over it and they stink. But after a while, the soil becomes a rich natural fertilizer. And it's tremendous for growing fruit and vegetables because it's so rich. Because we allowed something to die. And we waited during that time between when there was nothing happening. Because God was doing something underneath, invisible to our eyes. And then after the waiting period is over, it produces a rich, 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 rich crop. That's what grief is like, beloved. It really hurts and stinks. Let's go there, okay? it's okay to grieve. In fact, we need to grieve and let God redeem it and transform it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for your transforming grace operating in our lives. Help us to understand we've all had losses, Father, all of us. Help us to understand that's a regular part of life. And even though they hurt and made life difficult for us, we trust that you can transform them. Help us not to overlook them or ignore them, but meet us there with you. So, Lord Jesus, as we go there, we look forward that you would meet us there. In your holy name we pray. Amen.